And next, I want you to join me in welcoming our preacher this morning, our very own Elder Sylvia Garcia. And usually I don't pronounce her last name.
Good morning to everyone. I didn't get nervous until I walked in the door this morning, and the wind is whirling, and it's a beautiful morning. The wind is blowing really hard, which is, we think about it, it's the wind of the Holy Spirit. So it's awesome. Welcome to the river. And this month we've been talking about servant's heart. And before I get into my message, I get ready because I'll keep you here till next Sunday. So, if anyone needs a proclamation card, Pastor Janet has been sharing these. The church has been sharing these with you. And if you get one, pass it on, read it, pass it on. You can also use them as bookmarks. I sometimes use mine as bookmarks, and then when I carry my Bible or my book, then I just, if God calls me or nudges me to speak to someone or share something with someone, then I just pass that on. And the same with your books. I've been leaving them everywhere, laundromat, grocery store. I'll start with a little word of prayer. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for your word. I pray that it will go forth and fall on fertile ground, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for each one that is here, for those that couldn't come, for the apostle of the house. In Jesus' name, I thank you for her. Keep her safe. Guide her and protect her. I thank you, Lord, that you pour upon her greater level of revelation. In Jesus' name we thank you, Father. So I wanted to start off with servanthood. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he, Jesus, got up. He had gathered with his disciples. He got up from the table and took off his outer clothing, his coat, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. John 13:4-5. Jesus was the model. He's our greatest model. Jesus was the model servant, and he showed his servant attitude to his disciples. Washing guests' feet was a job for a household servant to carry out when guests arrived. But Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist as the lowest slave would do. He washed and dried his disciples' feet. So he was using this as an illustration. And I brought a bowl in August. I had surgery. So I couldn't find a towel that would wrap around my waist. And so I used the shawl, my shawl. And so Jesus took that towel and wrapped it around him and even this is too small. So Jesus took his towel and wrapped it around his waist, took the basin, poured water, and went around the table and washed the disciples' feet. Back then, we didn't have highways. Their streets were not paved like we have paved streets today. So you can about imagine how their feet were. But yet he took that upon himself. He lowered himself to a slave or to a servant to serve his disciples. And he washed their feet and dried them. Whether they understood that or not, it's hard to tell. The definition of a servant is living a life where our focus and efforts are to cause others to fulfill God's plan for their lives. In doing this, we must know what our gifting and responsibilities are in order to help others. 1 John 4:16 says, "So we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God gives us the power to love. As we walk in his love, we are able to reach others." And that's important to understand God's love. Ephesians 2, 3 and 4 says, "All of us also lived among them at one time." He's talking about before we came to that knowledge of Jesus Christ, before we accepted Christ in our hearts and in our lives. And Ephesians goes on to say, "Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy," and he stops there, because it's because of his love and because of his mercy that we are able to serve. It's because of his love and his mercy that we are able to reach those around us and help those to reach their potential. I know for me, I was born in a Catholic family. And it was just my brother and I, and my parents were awesome servers, servants. My dad tried to always have two jobs so that my mom could stay home and take care of us. And when you would come to our home, the first thing my mom would do is she would offer you a drink. And then, before you knew it, she had a whole table set. "Hey, you want to eat this?" You know, my dad was awesome too. He was a great man, and he loved Jesus, and he was a great servant. My mom had a servant's heart. She did things so natural. She never looked at her needs, always looked to help others. She and my dad worked very hard, always giving of themselves. And that's what a servant is. You're always giving of yourself. It doesn't mean you're going to be a doormat, because there's boundaries to that. But in your heart, you know that you are to serve. When I accepted Christ, it was easy for me to serve because it was already in my DNA. The older I get, the more my heart is to help others come to know the love of Christ, to be a living example of the love that moves, to be more Christ-like with our families, at work, or wherever we are. If you notice, I didn't give my scriptures because I like to hear the pages turn of the Bible. And so follow me as I go, as I read my scriptures. At work, in our businesses, our communities, we are called to serve. We're called to serve one another. It's important that we know our neighbors. It's very important, especially now, nowadays. It's important that if you see somebody struggling to open a door or someone needing to cross the street, it's important that you help them as part of serving. 1 Corinthians 7:22 says, "For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freed man. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is a slave to Christ." So when we are called, we are to be slaves to Christ. So whatever we do it to the Lord. We do it to the best of our abilities. We do not call ourselves. We are called and anointed by God. Our vocation is where we expand our time, where we spend our time and focus to see God's plan and purpose fulfilled. In other words, we are to help those around us, not just in this building or in this church, but those around us to fulfill their plan and their purpose that God has for them. I saw that in, I'll share with Carol's family. They're so united and they serve one another, which is great. By demonstrating this way of thinking in our daily lives, we spread a new way of thinking as servants. As we go out from this building, as we stand for one another, and we serve each other, and we serve those around us, there's a new way of thinking, and we need to spread that right now. We're in such a desperate place where people, all they want to do is hurt. Helping people and encouraging them for their plan and their purpose, which God has for them too. In business, we work together as one, demonstrating the love of God, as well as in our communities, serving one another. I know I've heard Elder Jim say it over and over when he speaks, how in his job he demonstrates Jesus and demonstrates his love and demonstrates his service for God. And that is what we're supposed to do, demonstrate Jesus. Webster's definition of a servant is one who serves voluntarily or on compulsion, a person who is employed by another for menial office or labors, or for labor, and is subject to command, a person who labors or expects himself for the benefit of another, his master or employer, a subordinate helper. In other words, someone who will help you no matter what. I know my son and I have come, and years past, I've been with the church for 19 years. Years past, my son and I cleaned, he mowed because I didn't want to get on the lawnmower. So he would mow, and I would walk around picking up trash and pulling weeds. And we did that for a long time. We didn't expect the church to pay us. We just did it because our heart was there. And I still do. I water the plants, and I come in sometimes, pick up trash, and do other things around the church that I'm more of a behind-the-scenes person. So, number two, one is state of subjection or bondage. Thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, Deuteronomy 15. The other definition is servant leadership is a philosophy in which the main goal of a leader is to serve. This is different from traditional leadership, where the leader's main focus is the thriving of their company or organization. A lot of people see it that way, that for them to be leaders is to tell their people underneath them how the job is done. I've worked in a factory, so I know this for a fact, that people, sometimes leaders, managers, supervisors, instead of coming and giving you a hand and showing you what to do, they point to that thing over there and say, okay, do that. And it's, as a leader, and they focus more on the business part of it and how much we can make, how fast our company can grow. This is different from the traditional leadership, where the leader's main focus is the thriving of their company or organization. A servant leader shares power. They're not afraid for the other person or people to know what they know. They're not afraid to teach people the job. They're not afraid. Puts the needs of the employees first and helps people develop and perform as highly as possible. So when we do that, people appreciate that and want to work harder and put more effort into what they're doing. I've got four points here. A servant leadership inverts the norm, which puts the customer service associate as a main priority. Instead of people working to serve the leader exists to serve the people. As stated by its founder, Robert K. Greenleaf, a servant leader should be focused on, this is the question, do those served growing as persons? Do they, while being served, become healthier, wiser, freer, more freer, more likely themselves to become servants? So when we give you that freedom, when we teach you, then you are more free to become a servant. It's easier to serve. When leaders shift their mindsets and serve first, they benefit as well as their employees in that their employees acquire personal growth. If you've ever been with Pastor Leonard and spent time with him, it's awesome, because I've been with him to the court side, and he always runs to the people that are coming to the court, and we pray for them and give them cards and books and all that. And then he goes to the different places in the city and serves. While organizations grow as well as due to employees' growth, commitment and engagement. So this leadership style come about, a number of different organizations have adopted this style as their way of leadership, according to a study done by Sinia and James Saros. Servant leadership is being practiced in some of the top-ranking companies today, and their companies are ranked because of their leadership style and following. In other words, they are growing and they're maturing, and not only the company's growing, not only their owners, CEOs are growing, but the employees are growing and they're maturing. Here with interest, or here so as to obey. So do we hear with interest, or do we hear to obey? Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey this word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Mary, when God called her, and she said, first it was like a young girl, you know, she was questioned what God really wanted her to do. And Mary was willing and graciously submitted to the will of God. "No longer do I call you servants, for servants does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. As Abraham was called the friend of God because he enjoyed extraordinary access to the mind of God's revelation to him, which he believed. So those who follow Christ are privileged with extraordinary revelation, which is so awesome to be in contact with God. But made himself of no reputation. This is talking about Christ. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, Philippians 2:7, which is awesome. As a true servant, Jesus submissively did the will of his Father. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It not he who sits at the table. Luke 22:27. So if we want to be great, we have to be servants. We are to serve first. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be a servant. Believers are to do opposite. Remember, the kingdom of God is opposite. Yet it shall be among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be a servant. Believers are to do opposite. They lead by being servants and giving themselves away for others as Jesus did. So we give ourselves away, and we sing that all the time here at the church. I give myself away. Do we really mean it? Do we really mean it when we're out at our jobs or out at the grocery store? Do I really mean, or with our families? Sometimes our families can be pretty irritating. And do I give myself away? Do I give myself away as a servant? Most businesses, organizations, and institutions measure greatness by high personal achievement in Christ's kingdom. However, you know, we look at the education, at how much money you have, your great home, your great car that you're driving. Service is the way to get ahead. That's the natural. That's the people that don't know Christ. The desire to be on top will hinder, not help. Rather than seeking to have your needs met, look for ways that you minister to the needs of others. James and John wanted the highest position in Jesus' kingdom, but Jesus told them that true greatness comes in serving others. Peter, one of the disciples who had heard this message, expands the thought in 1 Peter 5:1 through 4. I love this. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. In other words, take care of each other. Let's take care of each other. The shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Just ponder that thought a little bit. To God, it doesn't matter how much we have or what we don't have. Or how much we've accumulated. Or how big our bank account is. Or how we're lacking. Several characteristics of God's leaders. I have four. Number one, realizing that we are caring for God's flock. Lead out of eagerness to serve, not out of obligation. And I know I've been there. Sometimes I've complained because I want to come and pick up trash since my granddaughter started working, I've been helping my daughter take care of the baby. And some days it's hard to roll out of bed and go and chase after that little one so full of energy when my daughter is already grown and had her own babies. But once we sit on the floor and I read to her and we sing, and the other day was so nice, I bundled her up and wrapped her up real good and put her in the stroller, and we went out for a walk, and she loved it, and so did I. So our concerned, what are we concerned about? What they can give, what I can get, not for what they can get. In other words, what am I concerned about? Am I getting something in return out of all of this? I may when I reach glory. Lead by example or not force. In other words, you don't force someone to do something. All of us should lead others in some way. Whatever our role, our leadership should be in line with these characteristics. Whatever our place is, whatever our position is. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just at home doing nothing. I'm just a mother raising kids. Well, you know what? That's the place that God has you. And you're serving them. You're serving your husbands, wives. You're serving your husbands. Men, you are serving your wives. And your families, and those who God brings alongside. We will see that serving costs. It surely does. Surely does. I accepted the Lord in 1973, and I tell you, it has been a ride. It has been quite a walk. Where I've been up on the mountain, and I've been down on the valley. But yet God hasn't left me. And my heart of serving, my heart of compassion for others to be delivered from where they're at, it just grows and grows. It's amazing. We will see that serving costs. It does. It cost Jesus Christ. It cost him a big price. But he was willing to die for each one of us here. And he was willing to demonstrate his love for serving one another. He served his disciples. It requires humility. I do it because God loves me. And he pours that love upon me to love those around me. It requires sacrifice. Like I said, some days I Some mornings it's hard for me to roll out of bed and go take care of the baby, but once I'm there, I'm okay. The sacrifice doesn't mean like nothing, because she's a joy. And it's awesome to see her. It may lead to being misunderstood. I have been many times. It would lead to being unthanked and unappreciated. Been there, done that. When we consider the humblest servant of all, Jesus Christ, was despised, mocked, and rejected. Sometimes we're rejected by our closest family, those brothers and sisters that don't know Christ, those children that are not serving God yet, husbands or wives that we're still hanging on for, or Gabe has a business, his employers, or his employees, I should say, those that work for him. And I'm sure you see that too, Jim. Serving can be hard. Sure can. It is their devotion to Christ. It is our devotion to Christ. In fact, the term minister actually means to serve, to be a servant, to serve one another. Servant leadership is largely about attitude, preparedness to work. The teaching of Christ about leadership is which he established the standard of servanthood for his leaders. But it almost sounds contrary. So the question is, how can a leader be a servant? We'll see that servant leadership looking for people, looking after people. I'm sorry. Therefore, a servant leader needs to be considerate, and not just of those they are leading. Consider Christ was a nice, considerate, and helpful to many different people. He was. He reached thousands, not just those he was leading. This shows us that the true servant leaders are kind and considerate toward others generally, not just those they lead. Leadership is serving. Put another way, leadership is helping others. In this light, we can all be leaders to one degree or another, depending on where we're at or what we're doing. We can be servants. Richard served in the military for a long time. I have brothers, I have cousins, and I come from a long line of military people. My son, my youngest son, served in the military. And my mom, because I raised my five children by myself with their help, would always say, "You should have joined the Army. You would have made a great drill sergeant." And I'd say to her, "Mom, if I don't correct them, who's going to correct them? They'll be out in the street doing what the street is showing them, which is not right, which is not good." So I lost my place here. Okay. Another way of saying servanthood is to say humility. To be humble is to serve. All believers should strive to be humble. Servanthood is also one of the greatest demonstrations of love. A willingness to serve is therefore one of the hallmarks of Christian maturity. I thought I had to stop right there, because it shows our Christian maturity. It shows that our love for God, because we know that love, because we have that love, then we can show it to others. And like I said, not only in this building, but those outside, especially those that we work with, those that we're around with 24/7. There are, of course, those who are gifted with servanthood. Those who are gifted will often be the first to see the needs of others. They will also be ones most likely to feel unappreciated for their service. But they are also the ones who are most likely to instruct the rest of us who don't serve naturally. In other words, if you see it, if you know it by heart, if you have that servant's heart and somebody isn't doing it or somebody isn't serving, then just pray for them. Pray for you that you can be okay with that and that they will get that servant's heart, that love to serve. You're serving by your books, by the books. That's how you're serving. And wherever you go, then you're giving a book. You want others to know Christ because of that love that you have for him and that love that he has for you. So it's awesome. To follow Christ is humility. We also need to avoid the opposite spirit of humility, which is pride. Sometimes we can become prideful and say, well, no, they're just using me, yada, 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 yada. Well, you know, this is where we have our boundaries. And we realize that God gives us that ability to serve. And if we're serving someone and they are using us, then let's pray about it. Not that God would take them out of our lives, but that they will know Christ. It was pride that led the fall of Satan. It is pride that justifies our lack of service. We begin to question, should I? Then they're just walking all over me if I serve them, if I help them, if I show them God's love. Then they're just using me. That's pride. It is because of pride that someone claiming to be a believer will feel above their brothers and sisters in Christ. And we don't want to feel above. We want to help others. Pride divides, ultimately destroys. Its victims are families, marriages, and churches. And that's a strong word because it's true. Pride will destroy our families if we don't want to help them. Pride destroys marriages if we don't want to work on the marriage. Pride destroys churches because we're so proudful. I have this gift and I am here and I will not help you because I am above. That's pride. And we also show pride in our jobs. I know more than you. I can do it better than you because I'm more educated than you, because I have more money than you. And that's a lie. That's a big lie from the enemy. Yes, God wants us to have an education. Yes, God wants us to have resources, but not to be so proud that it hinders our relationships and our service to others. I walked into the post office the one day and I was looking for my mail. I moved to Goshen, and so I haven't received mail for a little while. And I walked into the post office, and there was a police officer searching for his mail, too, and going through his mail. And I said, "Thank you." And he looked at me, and I said, "Thank you. Thank you for serving." I said, "I pray for you guys because you put your life on the line and you never know what you're going to face. Never know." I thank all those people in the military that have served faithfully for years and years. Norm, you were another one. I thank you because you give up your lives, and at times you have to leave your families. At times you have to leave your homes. And I thank you for your service. We want to help people to realize that offenses will come and that we are called to respond humbly with a servant spirit. Somebody may offend you. Something that was said, some way people looked at you may offend you, but it's okay. By doing this, we are heaping burning coals on the heads of our adversaries. Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. And I will close with this. So, Father, I thank you so much for your opportunity to speak and to share your word of a servant.